start.
Is a necessity. Right? We all know that. Now, what's the relationship to luxuries and necessities? Look at something interesting. A luxury is when you have it, you feel very happy about it. But is anybody in this room really upset if they do not own a private plane? No, it's okay. I mean, I would like to have one, but that's good fun if I don't have one. I won't lose any sleep on the fact that I don't own a private plane. It's a luxury. If I have it, great. If not, nishkafelach. Necessities is exactly the opposite. When you have it, you take it for granted. There's bread and water. Yeah, that's how it should be. When is a person aware of necessities? When he lacks them. Hashem yirachem. If he lacks necessities, he doesn't have his basic needs. So then it's very painful. So luxuries are felt in their existence, not felt when they lack. Necessities are the opposite. They're felt in the, when they lack. When they're lacking, they are not felt when they're there. Right? That's how it is. Nevertheless, the relationship of Bnei Torah to Torah, look at it. Any average yeshiva bachur would fit this thing. That when he learns well, he's thrilled. He feels in seventh heaven. And when he doesn't learn so well, he's depressed. It's like a day goes by and he didn't learn well. He feels, I missed that today. So what is Torah for Bnei Torah? Is it a luxury? Yes, that's like when they feel so good when they have it. So how come they feel so terrible if they blew it one day? LMI, probably it's a necessity. So if it's a necessity, why do you feel so great when you have it? Do you feel so great when you have water and bread? What would you say about that question? What is Torah for those who study it, girls and boys? A luxury or a necessity? It seems to have the combination of both. When you have it, you feel like you have a luxury, and when you lack it, you feel you're lacking a necessity. So then what is it? Torah is life itself. And when it comes to life, you don't have the division of luxury and necessity. Whenever you feel you're alive, there's nothing that could beat that. And whenever a person feels that he's dead, there's nothing worse than that. By the way, this is not only with Torah. Anything that I'll decide is my life. Even in a negative, I would say probably the relationship of alcoholic to alcohol will be the same. If you give him a full bottle, he's the happiest person in the world. Empty bottle, oy vey. A musician let's take something positive. A musician, the way my sister Adina treats her piano. It's the same thing. When it's there, wow! But I remember as a kid that the piano had to be fixed. It was taken away for a few days. It was Tisha B'Av. Something which is your life, when you have it, there's nothing more. And when you lack it, there's nothing less. Says Rav Hutna, Torah is life. Life we get from our fathers, Torah should come from our fathers. But there was some kind of deterioration that took place in the days of Rav Shua ben Gamla, and here schools kicked in. Let me give you another example to this idea. When Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the very first time in the Sneh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to himself, that's what the Medrash says, with what tone of voice should I speak to Moshe Rabbeinu? In my loud voice, he'll get scared. In a soft voice, he won't know it's me. So you know what he spoke to him in what language? In what tone of voice? You know what the Medrash says? He spoke in the tone of voice of Amram, his father. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Abba, where are you? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied, Eini avicha, ela elokei avicha, b'fitui bati etzlecha, I misled you that you should not be afraid. Let's look at this Medrash. It's Shmoyis Rabba Gimel Aleph. How old was Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of the bush, of the Sneh? 80. How old was he when he fled Egypt? How old was he? It says in Chazal he was 20 or 12. The Ramban brings down these two numbers. So this is a voice he did not hear for over 60 years. You want to come up with a familiar voice that has to be someone he didn't hear for over 60 years? Why not the voice of Yisro that he spoke with him, that he ate with him breakfast that morning? What would you say? And by the way, when Moshe Rabbeinu was 80, it's probably impossible that Amram would have been alive. Because Amram was 137 when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So then Amram would have been 217. People didn't live then until 217. Look, Moshe Rabbeinu lived to the age of 120. Aaron, 123. So you don't want to scare him, so you come up with the voice of someone who died? Isn't it like spooky? What is this Midrash saying? The Midrash is saying that we reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our parents. That's what the Midrash is saying. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you know me through this voice. Ask any 5-year-old boy, what do you say about your father? A normal 5-year-old kid, what would he say? My father is a policeman, a fireman. You know, in the world of a child, that's called God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that we look at our children, when we're little, we look at our parents like they're, as if they're God. Then we grow up, and we know they're not God. But they're always the bridge to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what you see from this Midrash. And when parents treat their children properly, you know what the child says subconsciously? Hashem likes me. That's what he says. Hashem likes me. And if it's the opposite, he says the opposite. I once heard from a great man that it's commonly found that people who had, unfortunately, stormy relationships with their parents or more susceptible to have issues with emuna. Why? Because that's really the nature of our relationship with our parents is the nature of our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch. That's a yisod. And again, this Midrash hammers home the idea that our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch goes through the experiences that we have with our parents. And consequently, here's another proof that it's parents that have to inspire. Inspire means to build that relationship and link with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you see what the way Rav Huttner explains the Gemara of B'Shul Ben Gamla, having teachers is an incubator. Teachers is not the natural way. It should be through a tata, through a father. HaKodesh Baruch Hu appeared in the voice of Amram to Moshe Rabbeinu. All this is from one point of view. But now we live in the era after the Takkun of B'Shul Ben Gamla. Now we live in a time that we're not homeschooled. Rather, we do go to schools. So then what changed? Do you think B'Shul Ben Gamla is trying to change the foundation of the Bria? No. The teachers are shluchim, are agents of the parents. It's more than that. The teacher is supposed to feel that he's taking over the job of a parent. Really, it's not a profession. I'll give you an example to this. Could anybody quote me a source where it says that a Rebbe is supposed to love his Talmidim? A source, black and white. That a Rebbe is supposed to love his Talmidim. I'll read you the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hichos Talmud Torah, Perek HaLacha Beis, Tzarich Adam Lihizar B'Talmidav, a person has to be careful with his, sensitive to his, with his students, Ule Ohavam, and to love them. Shem Abani. A teacher has to love his children, his students, because he's coming instead of the father. If a teacher does not love his Talmidim, he's not replacing a father. And if he's not replacing a father, he's not the one to teach Torah. Because only a father or someone similar to a father can teach Torah. I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me when I was a kid. My family made Aliyah from St. Louis, Missouri to Israel when I was 9 years old. And then 2 years later, when I was 11 years old, I was in sixth grade, And I know, I admit I was a wild kid, and I broke the window in the school, in the classroom, and the teacher gave me a punch. Fine. Gave me a slap. In those days, it was more common. I came home, and I told it to my father, and listen what happened. My father asked me, oh, you broke the window? So I have to pay for it. I want to come to the school to pay for the broken window. When do you have a break tomorrow? So I could come speak to the teacher and pay for the window. I said, at 10:30 I have a break. Okay, I'm going to come tomorrow. The next day at 10:30, Itaka saw my father coming up, parked his car. I remember he had a green shirt. I remember it very vividly. And through the window that I just now broke, I had a very clear vision of what's happening. Now we, the children, knew that the teachers and the parents meet in a certain room, and in that room, there's a closet. And if you go there very quickly, and you, since you're small, you could hide there in the closet, and you could hear the conversation. We did that regularly. So I went down very, very quickly, and I heard the conversation. They spoke in Yiddish, but I understood. And my father asks him, I heard yesterday something happened. What happened? The teacher says, yeah, he broke a window. It was so dangerous. He could get hurt. So my father tells him, so first of all, I want to pay for the window. How much does it cost? He says, 50 lirot. Okay, here it is. What happened afterwards? I had to tell him to stop doing it. And I gave him a slap. My father wasn't happy that he gave me a slap. So he asked him, why do you give him a slap? So he wanted to brush off my father. You know, he's Olech Hadash, an American. He says, listen, I'm a father. A teacher's like a father. Father's allowed to give a smack. You don't sometimes smack him also? And on that, the answer, of course, would have been affirmative yes. So me too. Then my father told him something, which I'm going to remember to the rest of my life. My father asked him, ah, you gave him a patch because you're a father? Yeah. Did you ever give him a kiss? In those days, kisses were okay. Did you ever kiss him? No. Ah, you're a father only for patches? That's not a father. A father isn't. Every 100 kisses, he gives one patch. It can't be a father only for patches. And somehow that's how the conversation ended. But I learned from that something else also. My father never told me a word of criticism about my teacher. Never. And when I grew up, I never heard a criticism from my father about my teachers. And I know my father had what to say. And he would call them up. But never in my presence. And if you think about it, it has to be so. Because if the teacher is the shaliach of the father, and if the teacher is an extension of the father, does right hand have a criticism on the left hand? Now, it's true that if there's something wrong with your left hand, you'll go to a doctor and try to work it out. But you won't speak to someone else about it necessarily. So, yes, now teachers are the ones who are supposed to inspire. 100%. But there's conditions how this could work. And the way it could work is only if the father views the teacher. There's a din here on the father, there's a din here on the teacher. The din on the father is that the father views the teacher, he is my substitute. He's replacing me. I got to make sure that this job works well. And to give him all the support in the world that he could do his job well. Because he's actually doing my job. I'm the one that's supposed to be teaching to her. That's point number one. Point number two regarding the teacher. It's not just teaching something and going home. These are your children now. You are the Rebbe. A Rebbe means Kol ha-melamed es ben chaver Torah ki'ilu yelodoy, as if he gave birth. Ha-talmidim kulim banim. There's a din here also on the Rebbe that he should understand, like what the Rambam says, that you're supposed to love them. Rabbi Yisai, we're supposed to conclude already, right? Almost. Okay, just to finish this nekuda. There's another point here that should be made also. A father should understand what his role is. Today, when I'm dealing with this day in, day out almost, one of the biggest mistakes today that people think is that the father has to become the friend of the son and our daughter. They have to be friends. That's not a role of a father, to become a friend. A father's a mentor. A father's a moraderech. Of course, there's Abba, unconditional love, but not friends. Don't worry, your children have their own friends. The parents aren't supposed to be friends. The parents are supposed to be an authority, which is well-loved and well-respected, but not friends. When the father knows his role, and the teacher knows his role, and they're on the same page, then it could work. But as long as the teacher, the child feels, my father doesn't like my Rebbe. No. He doesn't say nice things about him. By definition, the Rebbe cannot be a substitute for a father then. Because the father himself says he doesn't like him. So criticizing a teacher in the presence of children has to stop. If you have anything important to say, please go ahead and say it to the teacher. Not to the child, or not in the presence of the child. And the teacher has to know that he's filling in the shoes. He's the incubator. And he's really doing what the father has to do, but now whatever happened, the generations are changing, and now it's done through the school system. But it's not throwing away the father, it's just keeping on, taking the father's job in a new way. That's what Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla did. Just room to ask, so how come we didn't get the Torah from the Avos? Why did we get the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu? What would you say on that kind of question? If the natural sequence is that Torah should come from the one that gave birth to you, the one who gave you life should give you Torah. That's like the natural way, without incubators, is a father teaches Torah to a son. That's how it should be. I want to tell you again, just on a personal note, I used to learn a chavrusa with my father every Shabbos and learn with him what I learned throughout the week in yeshiva in high school. It was the highlight of my week. I must tell you. You know what used to happen? I used to come on Sunday morning, the next day, and bring out the questions that my father asked on the material that we learned throughout the week. And the Rebbe would point out, Yeshua Hartman's father asked this question, Yeshua Hartman's father asked that question. And it made such a bond between the two of us. Today, spending quality time is that a father and son together go to a movie. Right? So they're not together, they're watching a third thing. It's such a beautiful gift that Kosh Bohu gave us to learn Torah with the son. And you look him into the eye, and he looks you into the eye, and that's really bonding time. So let's sum up. Who has to inspire? We said both. Today probably has to be done in the schools. Most probably, due to the decree of Rabbi Shua ben Gamla, yes. But it's not that the father's out of the picture, or the mother for that matter. It's not. The teachers are just an extension of the parents. And when the child understands that the teacher and the parents are on the same page and they're in constant contact, do you know how many problems you solve just by this? When the child thinks that there's no real connection between my parents and the teachers, so they take advantage of that black hole. This I'll tell my father, but this I won't tell the teacher. They're never going to check it. They're never going to cross-reference it. That's okay. That in itself, but it's important to understand that a teacher could be a father when the father sends the message, you are my representative. You are my substitute. You are my incubator. That's the message that has to come out from the father. Then together with joint forces, they can really, Mitzvah Hashem, inspire children. Inspiring children again is, at the end of the day, pointing out to them that what's unique about being Jewish. And with this, I'm concluding. What are the Jews best at? Are we the nicest people in the world? I wish so, but I don't know. What would you say? Are we the nicest people in the world? What do out-of-towners say about New Yorkers? Huh? Are we the cleverest people in the world? I don't know. They say that Palestinians are very clever as well. What's unique about us that nobody else has? It's a kesher, a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. No other nation has it. We're the only nation that has such a kesher. We made a bris with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in front of 3 million people, and it's ongoing forever, forever. Inspiring children is to understand that they belong to a very special group called Am Yisrael that has a very special relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that no other people have. With joint forces of the father with the teacher, the mother with the teacher, that's how the inspiration could work. And we have to avoid any kind of friction between these two powers. We should be zeichem mitz Hashem to see a b'chol banaych limudei Hashem v'rav shalom banaych. Again, I want to apologize for coming late. I was in Tinek before, and there was a tremendous traffic jam. I'm sorry. Kol tov. Kol tov, everyone. Chana, ma shlomech? How are you doing? Where do you live? Where are you these days? Yeah. You came all over here?